Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 28th of April, 2014. The podcast that's an ex-hangout. Yes, this was supposed to be our first ever live podcast going out on Google Hangouts on Air. And guess what? Didn't exactly work out like we planned. So we're just doing this straight live to recording. No editing or anything, so this is going to be a little more raw than we usually have it. But joining me again this week, we have Charles Thomas.
Hello.
And for the first time in quite a while, Dave Turcotte.
I think it's the first time this year, actually.
I think so, yeah. First time in 2014.
Yep.
This is your host, Shane Killian. I think I forgot to introduce myself here. See, this is what happens when we do it live.
Hello.
Oh, John's here.
Hello. John! Oh, okay. Jonathan O'Shea just joined us.
I've been here the whole time. I was trying to tell you I had Audacity going.
I didn't even see you on the screen. I haven't even popped up.
Well.
Oh, yeah, there you are. I see you.
Well, John Boy's here now, so.
That's what happens when it's live. Yeah, what happens is in order to do Google Hangouts on Air, which is really nice, and there's all sorts of features to it. There was like a Q&A I was going to do with whoever showed up, and then it automatically gets posted to YouTube afterwards. In order to do that, you have to have a YouTube account in good standing, which mine was last night. I checked. All of a sudden, this morning, it isn't. And I checked it, and I had like a few different creationist videos flagged.
Isn't it always the way?
Well, it's kind of weird because the creationists have kind of left me alone the last few years, and the timing of this is a little bit suspicious. I hear nothing about them until the morning we do a live broadcast, and then this happens and we can't do the live broadcast.
YouTube, fix your daggone DMCA thing.
Well, to quote Alex Jones, this must be a conspiracy.
I don't know. If it is, that's fine with me. I mean, in either way, it means we're making a difference.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
When's the last time we even discussed creationism on this show?
Yeah, I mean, basically all we've been doing is bashing the Democratic Party when they're in power. I mean, it's not like they would have anything remotely against us, right?
I think the last time we actually...
I've had statists false flag videos before.
I think the last time we've come close to bashing creationists on this show was the last time I was on the show when we talked about those sisters who fight ghosts or some nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
And a reality show that will last 16 seasons and such, which I guarantee you will. Where's the originality, people? What happened to it?
All right, so let's get into the news of the bogus. And this first one is one we've covered quite a bit. President Barack Obama, winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, is still keeping secret his legal justification for executing an American citizen without trial.
The biggest irony of that award since, honestly, I haven't seen anyone who hasn't deserved an award like that. I mean, it's just amazing. When he actually got the Nobel Peace Prize, he made a speech on why America should be continuing at war, right? I was like, wait a minute. This must be some rib. They can't put so... And I know the history of Alfred Nobel, who created dynamite and what have you, but, I mean, really?
Well, he created dynamite for constructive purposes, and it was only when it started being used as an instrument of war that he realized, you know, what it was he'd created, and he made the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
Because of that, to kind of balance it out.
But I know, it just seems like it's just a plastic reward. I mean, it's just like, I feel, really, it just depresses me that how people are just so, you know, I mean, I voted for him, and I feel it was really just terrible, what have you, but you know, I feel like very disappointed. But then again, I live in a blue state, what have you, so even if I didn't vote for him, it wouldn't have mattered.
I'm in a red or a blue state, just depends on the election. It just kind of goes one way and then it goes the other.
I wouldn't worry about it too much, Duke. I voted for Lieberman, so.
And you admit it?
I was just in high school. I didn't know anything at the time. He's been around forever. I figured it was like the grandpa clause.
Yeah, he's going to get in anyway.
Okay, if it's your first election, we'll excuse it, because I didn't exactly vote Libertarian in my first.
Yeah, I voted, actually, believe it or not, Kerry in my first one back in 2004. That worked out great.
I like that, because I was doing a lot of, there was a big skeptic community on Pal Talk, and we were talking about all that. And at the end of the election, one of the guys came up and said, yeah, I voted for John Kerry. And I said, oh, so you wasted your vote. And he said, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I got one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would say about wasted vote later, though. But this is, just to give you the background, when U.S. forces killed Anwar al-Awlaki, they tried to kill him on May 5th, 2011. They didn't, but they managed to get two others in the same car. They did kill him on September 30th, 2011. And he and a few of his associates were eating breakfast. They saw the drone coming, tried to flee in the car, and it got him. So they got al-Awlaki and like five other people who happened to be with him at the time.
Enough for government work.
But I mean, they got him when he was like fleeing in his car. So that hardly sounds like an imminent threat or something like that. But
not to mention they killed his son too, but you know.
Yeah, in a separate strike, yeah.
Yeah, it just always bothers me when you see the stuff. And I'm not against someone with drones and what have you. I'm not against the technology. But when someone does this and there's like, you know, real, I want the evidence. If you're going to go after a person, I want the evidence to say this is the reason why. Not by, oh, well, we know what we're doing, you know, that sort of thing. It's just that always bothers me because secrets like that are not, historically, are not good. They're never good.
This guy's got a ballistic missile that is aimed to land on a U.S. city, and he's setting it up, and he's just about to press the button, then yeah, go ahead and take him out.
Yeah, but when you have, like, okay, well, he's evil, he's declared against the United States, we have to take him out. Has he done anything? Has he supported any organizations like Al-Qaeda or anything else? No.
Well, that's the thing. All he did was preach, and all he did was speak out, you know, so he basically got killed for exercising his freedom of speech.
Yeah, that's really disturbing. And it just, and the people were cheering this is like, you know, eventually that stuff's going to come. Because people are actually claiming, you know, last year when that former L.A. cop who was in California, you know, when he was starting killing, like, you know, oh my goodness, they, oh my gosh, he killed two, a police lieutenant and his like daughter or what have you or something. And then the LA cops just went out and start killing. I mean, they shot up like what, these two innocent people in a truck that wasn't even close to perpetrate this car. And then I asked, well, maybe we should use drones. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Cause if I want to trust someone with drones, it'd be the LAPD.
Right.
Because yeah, I mean, heck, by the time the day's over, I mean, half of Watts will be blown up. But hey, that's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, too, the excuse makers that you see when it comes to this, too. Like, I remember a couple months ago, there was a news story that came out about cops who were shooting at a van that had children in it, and I don't know what the situation was, but they were just recklessly shooting at the van, and we have, on our local news station, we have this segment called Voice of the People. I've put it in fail quotes many times.
Oh, yeah, I saw this. There was one person, and said this wrong.
And the people kept calling in and saying stuff like, well, if they weren't breaking the law and if they weren't bad people, this wouldn't have happened. You got to love the excuse makers.
Yeah, our next story is going to get into that, too.
When it gets to them, they're like, you know, why didn't no one say anything? You know, you know what? It's just like you reap what you sow. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. And when I look at this, when you read this stuff, Shane, go right ahead. It's just, you know, it's just like, you know, people who are just very ignorant of what the what's really going on. They just sit there and say, well, he was a terrorist and what have you. It's just, you know, there's probably a lot more we got to get into.
Well, it just comes down to the fact that there is a massive double standard. What's good for the public sector is pure evil when done in the private sector. That's how it's always been, and for the foreseeable future, that's probably how it will be. But that's why
rules for thee, then for me.
Yeah. See, these types of people were never taught what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But
yeah, it has always been. It's like you said, it's always been this way. And the one thing I hope when this generation or what have you, when this thing will finally comes to light, people will be like, you know, maybe, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. The public sector should not be giving away with doing all these things. And that's my final thoughts about this.
Well, it's like a story I saw on, I put on Facebook not too long ago. This guy, he basically trapped his sister in a room for years, and they said it was like dungeon-like conditions, and people were absolutely horrified. I mean, they were like, this is inhumane, this is cruel. I said, what's the difference between that and jail? Really?
Yeah, what do
you think, what's the difference between that and prison? You just give this guy a badge, and you call that room jail, and people would have said, well, if she didn't break his laws, then this wouldn't happen to her.
Mm. Yeah, well, the state can do it, but we can't. Because, you know, we can, the reason why they can get away with it, because we can vote and what have you. You know, they have special powers.
It's a social contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Several times groups like the ACLU have tried to get this information for the legal justification for his killing. Murder, really, I think is what it is, except it's not murder when the government does it, I guess, but... They've been trying to get this under the Freedom of Information Act from the most transparent administration in history. And last year, U.S. District Judge Colleen McMahon said, quote, I can find no way around the thicket of laws and precedents that effectively allow the executive branch of our government to proclaim as perfectly lawful certain actions that seem on their face incompatible with our Constitution and laws while keeping reasons for their conclusions a secret. Well, last week, the ACLU and the New York Times won their appeal, and the three-judge panel ruled unanimously and said that the government waived its right to keep this information secret after making numerous public statements on the matter, including, you remember that white paper from the DOJ that we covered that back in February 13, over a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, to say the least.
So let's see if we can finally get some straight answers out of this administration. Personally, I wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah,
well, we haven't got straight information from Bush administration, Clinton's, Bush one, what have you. I mean, when's the last time we actually got straight answers from any administration when they were in power?
But I think this is the first administration that's responded to a FOIA request by blacking out every single page in the document. We cover that too, and they just handed them black sheets of paper, basically.
And what kills me about that is it's called a Freedom of Information Act, but it may as well be Freedom of Information when we decide it's worth giving to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. And they always have this cover. It's like, well, it's for your national security and the war on terror, which is brilliant. It's like the war on drugs. Is that there's no real ending, and that the state can have more funding, what have you, and everything else. And probably that's tied into the second story when I'll finish this little thing I'm going to link to. No, because it's just amazing. Because people will always invent monsters and demons to slay, even when there are not even close to even demons and monsters out there.
Yeah.
Well, it's just one of those unfortunate things where nobody's ever going to know what really was going on in terms of, you know, what they were thinking or what their quote-unquote justification was, unless you happen to be in the room that day when they pushed the button.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, so you know how you talk with some feminists about rape and they just steadfastly deny that women will falsely accuse anyone of rape? And then you mention the Duke LaCrosse case to them and they pretend to have no idea what you're talking about, even though it was covered ad nauseum in national news?
Oh, yeah. I remember this. I remember this, all the stuff, and basically being in Maryland, it was another punchline because, you know, Maryland-Duke rivalry and such.
Well, I'm in North Carolina. This is basically in my backyard. Like 3 hours away from me is Duke University.
Oh, good. That must have been fun. How much of those, like, I mean, even if it was, like, real not, I mean, I honestly think that's the press's job now, is kind of taking sensational stories and building them up, because no one wants to hear about what their government's actually doing. We need to find out these other stories that mean absolutely, that might be horrible and everything else, but at the end of the day, mean absolutely nothing to your rights, liberty, and everything else, because keep the people distracted and against each other, and, you know, while they keep running with the bank with the politicians and the judges or what have you.
Yeah.
You know.
So anyway, quick recap. In 2006, Crystal Gayle Magnum, who is black, falsely accused three white members of the Duke Blue Devils men's lacrosse team of raping her at a party held at the house of the two team captains, and of course... And, of course, the whole nation's hearts bled for her and her horrible experience in rape culture and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that the is just a social team... justice warrior's, like,
oh,
best
yeah.
possible dream.
Oh, yeah, this was like, they were all over it. The lacrosse team was suspended. The coach was forced to resign. The remainder of the lacrosse season was canceled. To this day, these three students and the coach have had to deal with all sorts of negative fallout from this case, even though we know for a fact that Magnum lied about the whole thing.
You know, I'm just going to say this right.
She said.
I'm going to say this right now, and I've said this for years. If you lie about being raped, you're just as evil and horrible and diabolical and vile as any person who would rape somebody.
And I sometimes have this thought that if you falsely accuse someone of a crime and it can be proved in court that you knew it was a lie when you said it, then you should face the sentence that the other person would have gotten for, you know, not just for losing the case, but I mean for, you know, positive like this where we have actual positive evidence that it was a lie and she knew it, then you would serve out the sentence that the accused would if they had been convicted.
And I honestly add a caveat to that, and all the financial like stress, they have to pay for all the stuff too, like the lawyers and everything else. So
not just financial, not even just financial. How about social? How about the fact that these three players are pretty much forever going to be known as rapists, even though they were perfectly acquitted, and the evidence shows that the woman lied.
The problem is just.
This is why I said lying about it is just as bad as actually raping somebody, because you can potentially, and more likely than not, ruin somebody's life, even if it turns out that it wasn't even true.
Yeah, when I first heard about like the evidence, and I was like fully on the side of the victim. I was like, you know, I want them to be hung by the heart, you know, just completely destroyed, you know, that sort of thing, and then. When evidence kept coming out and more, I was like, how could I have been so foolish? How could I have been, you know, it just feels like how can a person do that to another person willingly? Yeah. I mean, to lie about this. And that's why, you know, some people, you know, are this terrible. I mean, there's a lot of people my age, even younger, like, you know what, they're not even, like, you know, going out with any girls like that, especially. You know, women who are like, you know, hey, why don't you like, you know, say, oh, I don't want this and everything else, and be like, I'll stop. And it's like, hey, why'd you stop? Well, you told me to stop. I'm not gonna go and do anything. It's like, you know, if they continue on, I mean, and there was actually a story. I remember this of a football player, a college football player. It was not this one with the Florida. It was another guy who went to jail. And what have you, and had to lost his career and everything. I think he's finally got a team, a practice squad somewhere. He finally got good to college. I mean, got his dream together, because they actually set up a sting. They said the woman actually lied and said, you know, she did it because she was they needed the money. She got like a $2 million lawsuit or what have you. And I'm like, $2 million she spent on the money. She just had to go on, because she had to went to a bus to go to the lawyers and what have you. I'm just like, how could you do this? How could you ruin a person's life for financial gain? I just, there are so many stories out there just like this and worse.
Well, sometimes even worse than that. Sometimes it's not even for financial gain as much as it's because, like, I could think of another example I saw a long time ago where it was another college athlete. He was a African-American basketball player, and he had consensual sex with a white girl. And it turned out that her father was a big racist, and she didn't want daddy to find out that his little daughter was having sex with a black person. So she lied and said that he raped her. And of course this was in, like, you know, way down south, like Missouri, you know, in the middle of, like, Nowheresville. And the poor kid didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
They finally got him out when they realized that she lied, but even still, his life and career were pretty much ruined.
It was Brian Banks. That was the person who was, again, a stunning hidden camera of... No, here's the crazy thing. It was a Facebook friend request from his accuser. She wanted to become his Facebook friend.
Oh, jeez. That's Facebook bringing people together.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh. You know, it's just... I mean, I think he's playing for the Atlanta Falcons, and he's a defensive player. And just, again, she was ordered, $2.6 million. And, yes, how? I mean, just how could you do this to a person?
Well, in the Duke lacrosse case, leading the charge was Durham County Prosecutor Mike Nafong, and as a result of his actions in prosecuting this case, was disbarred for dishonesty, fraud, deceit, and misrepresentation, and that is the first time in North Carolina history that a prosecutor was disbarred for his conduct in trial. He spent one day in jail. Magnum was not charged with anything.
Of course. One day in jail for attempting ruining someone's life or what have you, because God forbid you can't do anything about a prosecutor.
Well, at least he was disbarred, so he's not a prosecutor anymore. But now... After the whole thing has left the rather selective memory of many progressives who kind of shut up about the whole thing once it was all shown to be bogus, there's now a book out by William Cohen which claims to be a fresh look at the Duke lacrosse case, showing that Nafong really wasn't such a bad guy after all. He's just kind of a misunderstood hero.
Oh, God. Some misunderstood hero tries to ruin the lives of three innocent people, you know, by perpetuating a lie that he knew was a lie. Oh, yeah, some hero.
Yeah, and by deliberately withholding the DNA evidence that proves he was lying.
That's just evil right there. And he only spent how many days in prison?
One.
One day.
To be fair, that's more than most.
True. And I think that was really a contempt of court type of thing, really, but... But this book has gotten glowing reviews from the New York Times, Salon, The Economist, and The Wall Street Journal, and starred reviews from Kirkus, Publishers Weekly, and Booklist. But if you look on Amazon, it's a little bit of a different story. Amazon has 8 5-star reviews, 3 4-star reviews, and 44 1-star reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's when he gets some better information on it.
Yeah, that's just, I'm not surprised. I mean, there's so many, you know, I mean, when you do have, like, someone who lied for the most part and just did all this stuff about, oh, you know, he's really a good guy. No, he's not.
But he had to, because all these elite, rich, white students can just buy their way out of prosecution. So he had to do all this to try to get justice, because they must have been guilty of something.
Some justice.
Mm. Yeah.
Justice, injustice, somewhere is injustice everywhere.
But supporting this, he just uses the press stories, basically from when everyone was all whipped up in a frenzy, before it came out that the accusation was false. He never interviewed any of the involved parties or witnesses. He never even used any of the information, you know, that came out since then that showed she was lying. I mean, it's just the evidence that the attorney general had ruled bogus. The attorney general actually said it was worthy of a declaration of innocence, which, I mean, it takes a lot for them to say that. And he just uses ad hominems and character assassinations against the lacrosse players with nothing at all to back it up.
Of course. There's always something. Again, it's just, you know, people who never have the evidence. Even when the evidence is proven, even when people just still have the denial factor, it doesn't matter how anything is, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, people will believe whatever they want. I mean, they will believe whatever, when you know, the facts is right there in front of you and everything else. You can tell them how, you can lead a horse to water, but it's something they're not to drink. It's, you know.
Yeah. Hmm. But the pattern that comes out pretty clearly in all the reviews is it's progressive leftists that are basically trying to excuse the wrong, which is kind of the opposite. It's usually, you know, the right-wing Republicans who are trying to go, yeah, you know, the prosecutors are all good, but now it's flipped around. So let's be honest here. Would they be taking this position if the crime had been anything other than rape, if the accuser hadn't been a black female, and if the accused hadn't been rich white boys?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Of course. Probably. You know, it's just, you know, it's always, like I said, I always believe this, is that people would rather, you know, it's easy. It's a way to set things up. I mean, if everything is reversed, I mean, we say we're a colorblind society, but at the end of the day, we're not. We just use things to distract. I mean, like, it gets people riled up. And meanwhile, you know, when the real things are going down, that does affect not just people in this country, but around the world. You know, the press and the media in general are silent. You know, that's the reason why a lot of people don't, I don't even trust anything what they say, because at the end of the day, they are only there for one thing and one thing only, you know, just to line their own pockets, and the truth be damned.
Actually, yeah. You know what? I take that back. There are two cases where I think they probably would have changed their mind. If it was Casey Anthony or O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Because everybody still thinks both of them are guilty.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The whole world knows they're guilty, and, you know. But hey, it's just, again, it's a way to distract the people when the bigger stuff is happening. I mean, they didn't care for the Rwanda junk genocide when OJ was driving down his 44 car.
In that low-speed car chase.
Yeah.
It was all over the news.
Yeah, I know. It's just, I remember it's that. It was all over news. I saw everything else, and it was barely a blip in the radar. Maybe I remember things wrong, but there was no talk about the genocide when people were dying, for whatever stuff. And it's just like, we covered it. It probably at best was a blip of the damn thing. And meanwhile, this low-speed car chase of a former football player, a movie star, who killed his wife, and which is a tragedy.
Well, he was acquitted, so, you know, you can't really say he killed it. We don't know.
Yeah, or what have you, killed and everything else. Just, like I said, at the end of the day, it feels like a media doesn't really concern things about the whole world, or things that are real changing type stuff that, you know, that could actually affect, you know, this is the reason why Alex Jones and InfoWars are so popular, because when you have the media, again, acting like this, well, you know, what other choices out there?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the Amanda Knox thing, you know, the story that the media was spinning is, you know, Amanda Knox was this innocent woman being railroaded, and lots of people are, you know, thinking they're oh so clever and thinking that, oh, you see, now I'm second guessing that, and I'm thinking she's probably guilty, except if you actually look at the evidence, yeah, the media got it right that time. She's just so incredibly obviously innocent.
Yeah, you know. Oh, by the way,
my only question is, where the hell is Nancy Grace to make crap up?
Yeah, the less we hear from her, the better.
Yeah, but anyway, did your calls just drop right now? I think of mine. I think mine didn't.
John's still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, Dave, you're just kind of being silent today, so we're not sure.
I have to pretend like I'm working.
Okay, so here's a question: if you're a student being bullied, and I think a lot of us have been there, what can you do? You know, I think we all know this. You know, you're bullied. The people who are bullied get punished for it while the bullies get off scot-free.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, that's just...
I've
lived that so many times.
Yeah.
So
your options are basically Jack and shit, and Jack just left town.
Yeah. But here it is. This I know this story, and it pissed me off because, again,
Let's say what happened first.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you got to think, what does a bullied kid have to do? How about record the bullying on his iPad? And that was what a learning disabled 15-year-old in Pennsylvania did and got in trouble for it. He was even threatened with felony.
Charles?
Yeah?
I'm here. Cole, just dropped for you guys, too.
Crap.
Hello?
Did the call just drop for you guys, too?
Yeah. Oh, crap. Everything's just going to hell.
Are the recordings still going? That's the important part.
Yep, the recordings are.
Okay, that's good. We'll keep going.
The bullies are trying to take our stream. The bullies trying to take our stream away.
Clearly, this was the fault of creationists.
Well, the iPad he used was approved by the school, and he'd reported the bullying numerous times, and of course, the powers that be did nothing. So to prove he wasn't making it up, he recorded the audio of it during class, and he was being bullied during class, while the teacher was watching, which is just amazing in and of itself. You know, at least when I was bullied, they tried to do it when no teachers were around or anything. So anyway, he played the recording for his mother. His mother went to the principal. The principal went to the police, and the police interrogated the student without his mother present.
By the way, he's a special ed student as well. Yeah. And someone who has mental disabilities, you know, ADHD and depression, and I struggled through this the entire, years of my entire young adult life, including stuff of my, when I was,
hello?
Hello?
John's phone rang, I think.
Oh, crap.
Okay.
Anyway, when I was a kid, I had to deal with all this stuff. The mental disability, how I was struggling in classes, and I got bullied, what have you. And thank goodness I had a good teacher and what have you to, you know, stop around and everything to make sure that stuff didn't happen. When I hear this story, I almost lost my eye. Just like, how could this happen? How could someone, a teacher in class who saw this was happening, did nothing. And here's the crazy thing. This is the thing that I found out about this story. Is that they just put the bad kids and the special ed kids in the one class together. You know, because that's going to work. And the teacher doesn't even care.
At a lot of places, though. They do usually put, like, troubled behavior kids in with special needs kids. I don't know why they do it, but they've been doing that for years. I actually went to middle school with a kid who was just straight up bad news, and because he couldn't function in a normal classroom because he was, let's be honest, he was basically a punk, they shoved him in with the special needs kids, and all he would do was torment them.
Mm-hmm. How in the world can people do this? I'm not even mad at the bullies because at least they don't know any better and what have you. They don't know any better. But where are the people, the support structure? Where is the support structure, the teachers, I think the parents are there. I mean, the parents are right there with this kid. But where are the teachers? Where are the principals? Where are people behind the mental health, this poor child, where are they? And this is why the mental health thing is just, it's in this country is so screwed.
Yeah, I think part of the reason is that it's much easier, and unfortunately it's the situation, for a lot of school boards, it's a lot easier just to ignore the situation and let it just keep going on day to day than deal with the issue.
Yeah.
Well, not to mention, too, they also have to hide behind their desks in fear of lawsuits.
That's true.
Everything.
Because the parents of the bullied come and they threaten all these lawsuits and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, my child's good. He'd never do anything like that. Well, guess what? Now we got a recording of it. Yeah. So now we see what happens there.
Your child, yeah, he was... not, your child is not your perfect snowflake.
But this is this yeah. has to bring me to a little bit of another tangent, because you see actual proper bullying and nothing is being done about it. And then you see all these celebrities and all these people whine about cyberbullying, which I don't care what anybody says. I don't think it's real bullying when it's so easily stoppable by yeah. simply blocking the person. And
it's called the seat key.
Yeah, it's called ignore them. It's called block them. It's called do anything, but whine about it. And, I mean, Jesus, these people, they campaign about how we need to censor the internet and protect the children from cyber bullies, but then when somebody is actually being bullied and they get evidence for it, what happens? Oh, nothing, except the kid who is the victim of in all this gets in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about...
So, yeah, he was threatened with felony wiretapping charges. Those were reduced to disorderly conduct, and the student who was bullied was found guilty of disorderly conduct. So bullying is not disorderly conduct, but recording it is.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's the slow clap of shame. Just yeah. absolutely pathetic. Just, oh, it makes
and
me
this,
sick.
This is the reason why people are taking their kids out and homeschooling them.
Yeah, and yeah. I was going to say, and then you wonder why if I ever have kids, I'm homeschooling them.
Yeah, I'm not even going to, like, no. I'm teaching them on my own. And in fact, that's why homeschooling kids are better, not only more well-adjusted than people go to public school, but also a lot more smarter and everything else. It's a lot more college ready.
I think a lot of it's because they have to take the initiative on their own. They can't just sit there passively in a classroom, because they still have to pass, you know, all the end of grade testing and everything. So they got to do a lot more stuff on their own than the kids do, and they've got a lot more autonomy to do that too. So I think that helps.
Yeah.
So just, his appeal comes up in a couple of days. Best of luck to him.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is something that they should just, you know what, in a just world, this thing would be, the judge would be like, you know what, this is not even done. This is stupid. Throws the whole daggone cases out.
Yeah. In a just world, it never would have gotten that far to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
In a just world, they would
have... In a just world, he wouldn't have had to record the bullying to begin with.
That's what I'm saying.
Especially
never would have
with the teacher there in the room at the time.
Exactly. Yeah. It never would have gotten to that point to begin with. It would have been immediately stopped before he had to resort to recording the bullies.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, this really bothers me, is that, you know, when you have someone who has this type of disabilities, they're going to blame themselves. And they're going to be getting more inwards. And they're going to be more, like, they're going to be more socially awkward, because they're going to blame themselves. They're going to go completely inward. And it might be probably just as bad, but not worse than this kid who, I think you talked about this thing last year, actually, about this FBI agent who,
he pretended to be the kid's friend and then tried to get him to get dope for him or something.
Yeah, and then have him arrested when he bought that said dope.
And
that stuff happens. And now you just have these kids who are just ruined, their lives ruined. And what happens? Where is the big media? Where are CNN, MSNBC, Fox News? Where are they?
Going back to what I was saying about cyberbullying, you hear about how these kids end up killing themselves. You want to hear a situation where a kid might kill himself? How about a situation where a kid is tormented every single day, nobody does anything, so when he finally tries to take it into his own hands, not by getting violent, but by giving proper evidence that he's being bullied, and he still can't win. That's what drives people to kill themselves.
That's hopelessness. Yep. Total hopelessness.
Exactly, a dark pit of despair that they can't get out of, yeah. And people are like, you know, wonder why these people are, like, you know, killing themselves. Not because of cyberbullying. I guarantee you it was because of people in their real life just messing with them every other day.
There had to have been something else. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Maybe the cyberbullying was part of it, but there had to be it had to be something other than just people saying nasty things online.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got saying like hundreds of things, nasty stuff. I just laugh it off. But, you know, because when I was really down, it was that bullying, and you just feel like, oh, my goodness, there's no one out there. And I, you know, thank the Lord. I mean, I know I'm Christian, what have you, but I thank the Lord because I had a family and friends behind me to say, you know, that's structure. And, you know, just say, okay, you are important. You do matter. And these kids don't have that. You know, the parents may not even know because they're working 4 or 5 jobs trying to make ends meet. And, you know, there's no other support structure for those kids. There's no teachers out there, no principals, no friends. There's no one there.
Yeah.
And even if the parents are there, it sometimes is not enough.
Yeah, and sometimes the teachers, parents can't even do anything. The parents tried to do something and it didn't work.
Yep.
His parent was the one who took the recording to the principal. Yeah. He said, look, my kid's being bullied.
And then he gets arrested.
Yeah.
Well, there is like no support structure.
Or sometimes they don't even if the kid don't get in trouble, they just kind of brush it under the rug. Like with that kid who his dad basically put a wire on his son, the autistic son, and they recorded the teachers bullying the kids. And what did they do? They just sent the teacher to another school.
Yeah.
But hey, without the government, who's gonna stop the bullies?
Yeah. All right, I think it's time to robocall this week's biggest bogon emitter. And for the third time, it goes to Rand Paul, and our love-hate relationship with him continues. After his father, Ron Paul, supported Libertarian Robert Sarvis and not Republican Ken Cuccinelli in the Virginia gubernatorial election, his son, Rand, once again goes the opposite way of his father in a very different way. He recorded a message urging people to vote for Republican David Jolly and not Libertarian Lucas Overby, who are candidates for House Florida District 13 for the special election they just had, in a robocall paid for by Karl Rove's organization, American Crossroads. Jonathan, how close is this to you down that way? You know much about this runoff election?
This is down on the other side of the state, but this is the main thing the state LP was going with for a while. So, yeah, but Overby ran a very good campaign. He got himself, I think it was the first time in Florida, in the history of Florida, that we got a Libertarian candidate on a televised debate with the Republican and Democratic challenger.
Oh, that's good.
And he was polling, he was polling pretty solid numbers up until election day. He was getting upwards of like 10-15%.
Wow.
And but once again, sort of the narrative that you always see once a libertarian, Jolly, he's gonna watch. You better watch out. Lucas Overby's gonna steal all his votes.
Mm-hmm. And that was the reason given by American Crossroads president and CEO Stephen Law for this robocall they had Rand Paul do. Quote, we need to make sure that Lucas Overby does not become a spoiler that gives Nancy Pelosi one more vote in the House. And no one in the center right has more gravitas to help here than Senator Rand Paul.
You know,
I should like to point out that even in the exit poll results and all the polls that were done prior to that, the vast majority of people who said they were going to vote for Overby said that it was just Jolly or what. Alex Sink, who's a tool of the Florida Democratic Party.
Yeah.
They said they were just going to stay home.
Yeah. Well, what happened was Overby ended up getting 4.8% of the vote. Jolly ended up beating Alex Sink by 1.9%. Mm. So he got quite a bit more than the spread. But, I mean, if David Jolly had lost to Alex Sink, it would have been the fault of David Jolly and the Republicans, not the fault of Lucas Overby and the Libertarians.
What?
So what you're saying is he would not have had a jolly good time.
Oh.
I regret nothing.
See, this is what happens when it's live. I can't cut out things like that.
But honestly, it's it just shows me that there's third parties are actually viable, and the two parties are scared. They're terrified.
Oh yeah, they got to find every excuse. They have to know that this spoiler argument is bogus. But you know, just like in Virginia, you know, they see themselves they might lose. And they gotta blame someone. They can't blame themselves. There's no personal accountability or anything here that the Republicans stand for. They don't stand for that any more than they stand for small government. No. We have to find someone else to blame.
Yeah, it's always been in this way. You know, they always try to keep the little guy down. It's a handshake deal, man. It's a handshake both the Democrats and Republicans to keep the little guy down. And now when the Republican Party, you know, and the funny thing is about service, he got majority of Democratic votes. I mean, people were like, you know, I don't want to. The Democratic voters are voting the Libertarian guy in because they feel like the Democratic guy is not liberal enough or what have you. And I'm like, you know, makes sense. I mean, hey, if he might work, it might work. I'm like, you know what? Let the guy have a shot. And he vote. I mean, he went, he campaigned, and he made to the ballot. What is wrong with him getting my votes? Unless you want to strike him from the ballot and say, okay, it's only Democrat and Republican. That's what they want to do. Yes. Then honestly, why not just make a law and say only Democrats and Republicans can only run in elections then?
They practically have.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's called top two.
Yeah, it is. But and why are you going to get upset when you have someone who, you know, is doing his own thing and actually takes a voter's then it's your job. Then get those voters back. Talk about your plans. Talk about how you're going to improve not just your the state you're going into or what have you, but also try to see what you can do to make the country better. You know, that sort of thing. Instead of just saying, this guy is opposing me. Yeah. He's just getting it in. Like, gosh, man, stop whining and actually just do your daggone job and actually try to convince the people. Yeah. Instead of just, you know, we can't do it. No, you can do it. You just have to actually convince your argument. Give a good argument and people will vote for you. And don't be such a hypocrite and actually try to get at least what most of these things done. You know, you're not going to get 100%, but at least try to get most of them done. But
well, Jonathan, is there anything in the exit polls that say how many votes he might have taken away from Alex Sink?
Let me see if I can pull up some of the
Because, I mean, if you look at a lot of his stances, I mean, he might actually be more attractive to a lot of Democrats than Sink, so he might have taken a lot of her votes. And I've seen that in the past, you know, a lot of times when they try to pull up the data and get it, they find that Libertarians actually take pretty much equally from the Democrats, the Republicans, and people who otherwise wouldn't have voted.
The thing is, though, what a self-defeating argument the spoiler argument is when you think about it. Are you saying that you suck that bad that somebody else is going to take votes away from you? Like, you don't have enough confidence that people are going to vote for you?
What about this idea that they own your vote to begin with?
Well, that's silly, but I mean, it's still a very self-defeating argument when you say, oh, well, if this guy runs, people aren't going to vote for me, and they'll vote for more Democrats. Like, are you that? Do you have no confidence in your ability at all to run an election?
Yeah.
Let me give one more second. Okay.
So what does it say?
Found a reason article.
We're live.
Yes, yeah. This is live. Let's not have dead air.
Let's see. Oh, lovely. None of the local. Apparently, none of the local news organizations conducted any exit polling.
Oh. Oh well.
So. Yeah.
Well, so that happened.
But. I know for some of the polls that were done beforehand, Let me see here. There's one of the St. Pete Times did that basically said to the effect that, as the majority of those who would have voted for Overby, we're just gonna sit home anyway.
But they didn't say anything about the rest of them who they would have voted for?
No, let me see here.
Yeah. All right, well, either way, bottom line, yeah, Rand Paul, once again, this week's biggest bogon emitter.
Oh, of course.
Okay, so let's end the show on a lighter note with this week's...
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Are you a sorcerer or something? How the hell do you do that live?
That was recorded. I can't figure out how to do the echo thing live, so that was recorded.
Oh, I was going to say, what magic is this?
No, I'm actually God. I haven't just told you yet.
Oh. Well,
trying to keep it a secret.
But then okay, tell the creationist, stop flagging your videos, Dad.
Okay, so you know those cases where a cop comes to a home because of some plant or a parking ticket or whatever and ends up shooting the family dog?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Here's a case with a happier and much funnier ending. A Riverside County, California sheriff's deputy, whose name has not been released, so I'm just going to call him Deputy Barney Fife, was going to a home to serve an eviction notice when a pit bull started barking at him, and Barney went for his gun and shot himself in the leg.
Oh.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Internet's over, folks. Go home.
We might as well pack it in. Yeah, according to Deputy Armando Munoz, quote, a dog came at the deputy in an aggressive manner. The deputy, attempting to defend himself, pulled his service weapon, shot one round, and injured himself in the leg. He's okay. He has non-life-threatening injuries. And he also followed that up by saying that the deputy would only be allowed to have another bullet if he kept it in his shirt pocket. Oh, please tell me you're getting this reference.
Oh, no, I'm not. It's
the Andy Griffith Show? Barney Fife, Don Knotts' character?
You just went over everyone's head. Everybody's head.
Shane,
even
show
my kids have seen the Andy Griffith Show.
I haven't watched Andy Griffith's show in like 12 years, man.
Fun fact, I've never watched it.
Oh, it's good, but you know, it's really dated. It's cheesy, but eh.
Yeah.
But honestly, I just look at this, that's just amazing. Shot himself trying to kill a dog who was supposedly threatening his life, which I'm honestly just, yeah, right. The dog is probably just looking at him. He's like, oh my God, dog, pow, oh, my leg.
Yeah. Well, and the pit bull ended up not attacking him. And of course, Munoz says that's because the dog was startled by the gunfire. It couldn't be that the dog was just never going to attack him in the first place.
Yeah, because, you know, pit bulls, I think it's because people think oh my God, evil manging dog or a bland, boring rapper, what have you. But, people have this whole misconception. If you raise a dog correctly, things will go up right. But, but when you raise them wrong, well, they become really violent.
You pretty much have to mistreat them. And the KNBC arrived at the scene. They got footage of the pit bull in question, which looks to me like a fairly small one, actually, as far as pit bulls go. She was playing with children, and her name is Precious.
Just Precious.
Precious!
Let me just say, as a pit bull owner myself, screw anybody who says that pit bulls are vicious animals. Seriously.
You got pit bull too?
I do. I have a pure American pit.
Cool.
Beautiful dog. Very lovely. Loves people. Absolutely loves people. Wouldn't hurt a fly.
Mm-hmm.
And how's that pit bull of yours doing since we talked to you last?
I think she thinks her name is Dammit Dog right now. But doing good.
Mm-hmm.
She's sitting here right next to me, actually.
I think, honestly, like I said, you know, I'm not really much of a dog person. Because, you know, I get, like, you know, very frightened because, you know, I see dogs, you know, doing very nasty stuff. But, you know, I can tolerate them. But when I look at the video, it's like, it's not the worst dog in the world. She's happy and everything else.
Well, but again, the dog's owner did say that the dog barked at the cop, but guess what? That's what dogs do. I mean, someone comes knocking on the door, and my Chihuahua barks at them ferociously while he's hiding under the table.
Oh, my uncle has a Cotton Tailor, which is a very tiny dog, and that thing will bark at anything, whether it moves or doesn't move. It barks well, if you apparently. Come, it barks if you go, it barks if you're here, it barks if you're there, it barks every damn where.
It barks, it barks, it barks. But you know what? That's like you said, Shane, that's what dogs do. And I guarantee you the dog was just barking and probably looking playful and the cop was like, oh my God, rumble, shoot, and bam. That's what probably happened. Of course, yeah,
it's sad the fact that at this point now, a freaking pizza delivery guy has to put up with more dangers than a cop apparently now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like the pizza delivery. People don't have to deal with these dogs, you know? I mean,
I actually saw this story about, like, a pizza delivery person in Detroit had to take out, like, two crazy people with a pistol she was carrying or what have you.
Yeah. Oh, there are people like that out there. But apparently someone had called Animal Services on the pit bull, but they didn't do anything. Because there was no evidence that the dog was dangerous or had done anything wrong, so you know, they just said, nothing wrong with the dog, and left.
Mm-hmm. Which is about the appropriate course of action.
Yeah. So, as John Lennon said, instant karma's going to get you. When it comes to the cops, it doesn't seem to happen that often, but at least it's happened this once, and an innocent pit bull is saved by Deputy Fife's own incompetence.
Yeah. But hey, you know, I guarantee you, next week we'll have a story about the cop going to, shooting up 15 puppies and destroying the house because it might have drugs or what have you.
Yeah. Well, we already had the one about the kittens, so I don't know if anything's going
to
top that.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, God. What is a cat going to do to you?
I'm waiting for fish. I'm waiting for them to go after fish. The fish was coming right at me, man.
Yes, the goldfish was looking at me very funny. So
I'm waiting for them to go after the cat.
He was going for a gun. Pet Rock, almost fell on me.
Exactly.
Pet Rock, that was more like a boulder. He told me to cover for ground.
Man, just give people unlimited power and what have you, and this what happens. I know there are probably a lot of great cops who do everything right, but when you hear these stories, you're just like, you know what, man? I mean, you're just like...
It's an institutional problem. Sure, there are individuals who are not bad people, but the fact is, as an institution, they have way too many liberties that the rest of us simply don't have, and it's just a matter of their monopoly.
Monopolies are never good. They always end up bad.
Yeah.
Always have.
So after all that, who else were we going to name this week's...
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Sorcerer.
Well,
a witch burner! Well, that wraps up this Flying Thompson's Gazelle of the Yard edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at bogosity.tv where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to my panelists for joining me.
Hey, that's no problem.
Yeah, definitely was a good one.
Until next time, here's a quote from Glenn Greenwald. The history of human knowledge is nothing more than the realization that yesterday's pieties are actually shameful errors. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity. Thank you.